You're listening to English Through Stories. Missing Person, Episode 3, A Woman in Pain. Welcome back to English Through Stories, Episode 3 of Missing Person. I'm your host, Jeff McQuillan, from the Center for Educational Development in Los Angeles, California. In the previous episode of Missing Person, we learned that our narrator, the person telling the story, Dr. Reeves, is a university professor and an amateur detective. One of his students asked him for his help to find her missing sister, Sarah. The detective, the professor, Dr. Reeves, and the woman go over to the sister's apartment, and they find that there is nothing there, no evidence to tell them what happened. They then hear, at the very end of the episode, a noise coming from another side of the apartment. That's where we left off in the second episode. Now, we continue with episode 3, of Missing Person, A Woman in Pain. I put my hand on my gun and slowly opened the door wider. I saw nothing. I carefully picked up a towel from the floor. Nothing. There must be someone in the bathroom, I thought. In one fell swoop, I kicked the shower curtain back. "Don't move," I shouted. Suddenly, a little white cat jumped out of the bathtub and scurried between my legs. A cat. I should have known.
"Oh, Jasmine, I forgot about you," Anne said.
The cat looked happy to see her. She took her into the kitchen. I poked around the rest of the bedroom and then followed Anne into the kitchen.
"Does the cat have any food left in her dish?" I asked.
"It's almost gone. Poor Jasmine, you must be hungry."
"Well, Bill and Sarah haven't been gone long, we know that."
I walked over to the telephone answering machine and checked their messages. No one had called. We continued looking through the three-bedroom apartment. There was no sign of any violence, no burglary, no break-in. I checked the master bedroom, and I saw nothing unusual. A beer bottle, photos of Bill and Sarah's wedding, some dirty clothes, an old Time magazine. Next to the bed on the night table, there was a bottle of pills.
"Anne, what are these pills for?"
"I think they're for Bill's leg. He messed up his leg playing football in college at USC, Anne replied. I put the bottle back on the table and sat down on the bed to think. I had no idea what happened to Anne's sister and her brother-in-law. They seemed to have just disappeared into thin air. They didn't call anyone. There was no sign of any crime in their apartment. No one at their jobs had seen them for 2 days. Where could they be?
"Well, Anne, I don't see anything here to help us. I think we should talk to the police again."
"But I've tried the police, Dr. Reeves. They told me to fill out some forms and wait. They won't do anything. That's why I went to you for help." She began to cry a little. I stopped and looked at her for a second. God, I thought, this poor kid. 22 and in such pain. "Okay, well, we won't find anything else here. Let's go," I said to her. Just then I heard a telephone ringing. I turned to the phone on the table, but there was no sound. Then I saw Anne reach into her purse.
It was her cellular telephone.
"That's my cell phone, Dr. Reeves," Anne said.
"Hello?"
I watched Anne's face as she answered the phone. First it was happy, then worried, then very sad.
"Right. 10 minutes. Yes. See you there. Bye."
Anne hung up and looked at me in fear.
That was Bill. Something terrible has happened.
Our episode begins with Dr. Reeves slowly opening the door to the bathroom with his gun in his hand. He says that in one fell swoop, I kicked the shower curtain back. The expression "in one fell," F-E-L-L, swoop, S-W-O-O-P, means all in one action, when you do something quickly all at the same time, in one fell swoop. We often use this expression when more than one thing happens because of a single action. In this case, Dr. Reeves kicks the shower curtain back. The shower curtain, of course, is when you have a shower where you bathe and you have a curtain on the outside so that water doesn't come outside of the shower. He shouted into the bathroom, "Don't move." Suddenly, a little white cat jumped out of the bathtub, all one word. Sometimes we just say the tub, T-U-B, is a place where you can sit and take a bath. The cat scurried between his legs. To scurry, S-C-U-R-R-Y, means to run quickly. Usually we describe an animal with short legs that runs quickly, like a cat. If they move suddenly, we may say they scurried. Often scurried means that they're trying to get away from you or get away from something. Dr. Reeves says, "I should have known." This is a very common expression in English. "I should have known," meaning I should have known better. I should have known what was going to happen. The cat's name is Jasmine, and Anne recognizes her, and the cat goes to Anne. Anne, of course, is the student of Dr. Reeves, whose sister is gone missing. Dr. Reeves says that he poked around the rest of the bedroom and then went into the kitchen. To poke around, P-O-K-E, in this case the past tense, I poked around, means to look around, usually when you are looking for something specific, or you are just trying to see what is there. You could say, for example, I poked around in my desk drawer trying to find a scissors. Means I looked around, not necessarily in an organized way. Dr. Reeves asks Anne if the cat had any food left in her dish. Notice the expression, "Is there any food left?" L-E-F-T. That means, is there any food remaining? When you say, "Is there any left?" you are asking or implying that there was some before and that it ran out, or to run out means to no longer have any left. The cat dish is, in fact, empty, and Jasmine must be hungry, Anne says. Dr. Reeves concludes that Bill and Sarah haven't been gone long, since, of course, the cat is still alive, even though there is no food left in her dish. Dr. Reeves walks over to the answering machine, or the telephone answering machine. That's, of course, a little machine you have connected to your phone to take messages. When people call you, they leave a message. But no one had called. He looked around more in the three-bedroom apartment. We often use the number of bedrooms to describe an apartment, not the square footage. In some countries, they'll say, well, it's
500 square feet. But in the United States, we usually talk about the number of bedrooms and bathrooms. It's a two-bedroom apartment, or we might say it's a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment. This is a three-bedroom apartment. Dr. Reif says that there was no burglary, no break-in. A burglary, B-U-R-G-L-A-R-Y, is when someone steals something from you. The person who steals something from you is sometimes called a burglar, B-U-R-G-L-A-R. That's the person who commits or does a burglary when you steal something. You can steal something from a car, from a person, from a house. All of those could be burglaries. A break-in is when someone enters your house without you knowing it and without you wanting it. So a burglar will often break in to a house. A break-in is just for a house or an apartment, when a robber or someone trying to steal things goes into your apartment or house. Dr. Reeves checks the master bedroom. The master bedroom is the name we give the main bedroom, the largest bedroom. If you're in a house with, say, two parents and three children, the parents would sleep in the master bedroom. It's the biggest bedroom. And usually we talk about, with the master bedroom, the master bath. That's the bathroom that's usually inside a master bedroom. The things that Dr. Reeves saw, a beer bottle, some dirty clothes, didn't seem unusual. He mentions an old Time magazine. Time is the name you probably know of a famous magazine in English that has been around, I don't know how long, for several decades. A decade being, of course, 10 years. The doctor says that there are some pills on the table, and he asks Anne, what are these pills for? When you ask someone, what is this for, F-O-R, you mean, what is its purpose? Why is it here? She says to Dr. Reeves that they were for Bill's legs, or his leg, rather, because he messed up his leg playing football. To mess something up, M-E-S-S-U-P, two words. To mess up means here that he hurt it. But you can also use the term to mess up when you make a mistake. You can say, I messed up. I made a mistake. I did something wrong. So it can have both of those meanings. The college where Bill played football was USC, which in this story means the University of Southwestern California. Dr. Reeves can't figure out what happened to Anne's sister and Anne's brother-in-law. A brother-in-law, of course, is the person that is married to your sister, and your sister-in-law is someone who is married to your brother. The two missing people seem to have just disappeared into thin air. The expression to disappear into thin, T-H-I-N, air, means that there's no clue as to what happened. You disappear so completely that no one knows what happened. Sometimes we use this expression when something disappears quickly. Dr. Reeves suggests to Anne that they go to the police and talk to them. But Anne doesn't want to. She says that she had gone to the police already. They told her to fill out some forms and wait. To fill out a form means to put some information on a piece of paper. Dr. Reeves then stops and looks at Anne and says to himself, "This poor kid." He doesn't mean here that she doesn't have any money. When we say this poor person, we mean this unfortunate person, when something bad has happened to them. He describes her as 22, meaning 22 years old, and in such pain. in such pain here means in a lot of pain. Then a telephone rings, and it is Anne's cell phone or mobile phone. She answers it, and her face suddenly becomes very sad. She hangs up and says to Dr. Reeves, "That was Bill. Something terrible has happened." On the next episode of Missing Person, we'll find out what terrible thing happened. Remember to visit our website, EnglishThroughStories.com. We also have two other podcasts you might be interested in listening to, a daily podcast called English as a Second Language Podcast, and our TOEFL podcast for those studying for the TOEFL examination or the IELTS. From Los Angeles, I'm Dr. Jeff McQuillan. We'll see you next time on English Through Stories. English Through Stories is a production of the Center for Educational Development in Los Angeles, California. This program may not be resold or redistributed without the express written permission of the Center for Educational Development.